Hi, I'm Lisa Prather, and welcome to the Voice of Health with our host, Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice, where lives are changed every day through the natural approach to healthcare. Well, today we're actually doing the show from Phoenix, Arizona. Beautiful sunshine.
It is nice.
Yeah, I think it's dreary at home, I've heard, back in Indiana. So we're here for a conference. Dr. Prather, you want to talk a little bit about the conference and what the DABCI, those are initials after your name.
It's the Diplomat American Board of Chiropractic Internists. It's a three-year postgraduate program to further educate chiropractors on all the aspects of diagnostics. Mm-hmm. So we get about 360 hours of just reading blood work in a much, much more detailed type of a program. We also get into cardiac, GI, hair analysis. So we really cover the whole gamut on all the different types of diagnostics and how to further that and then interpret that for the benefit of the patient.
And I know it is very challenging. What is the percentage of the people that start the program actually finish it?
10%.
10%. Wow. So, and I remember when you were going through that, we were married with three little ones.
Are you saying that you're a patient woman?
Yes. I said, now you have enough initials after your name.
But then I went ahead and got some more.
Yes, you did. Your licensed acupuncture and the other things. But let's talk about then the conference here. People are coming from all over the world, and what are you hoping to get out of the conference?
Well, the main thing that we're going through the whole weekend is on DNA testing. Mm. And that's a cutting-edge aspect of healthcare and how we can apply that to our practices, what are the best methods, and what kind of impact we can have on people's health. So DNA testing, finding out what's going on with that, I'm very excited about it. Mm-hmm. I'll be putting in about 16 hours of lecture this weekend. Mm-hmm. And hopefully come back with some really good information.
Exciting. Well, today we're going to talk about infant care.
Talking about DNA.
Mm-hmm, DNA. Yeah. Exactly. And we have a new little grandson, so you know, there was a reason we kind of want to focus on infant care. And
sure.
He's 3 months old. And let's talk about the structure function care. Why structure function care for an infant?
Well, trying to, you know, that's the formative years of your basic health. And that's when most of the brain development really starts. And so you can really have an impact on a child when they're young. Mm-hmm. You know, the sooner that you can get started on, you know, the health of the individual, the better the health. Mm-hmm. You can really avoid a lot of problems. You don't want any more pharmaceuticals than necessary. Mm-hmm. So if you can keep your infant nice and healthy and away from any type of antibiotic treatments or any other different types of problems, the better the child's going to do throughout their life. They have found that infants that have six or more antibiotics when they are before the age of five, they have six times greater likelihood of developing learning disabilities.
Wow.
So, you know, you need to, you know, keep your child as healthy as possible. Mm-hmm. Avoid the different types of problems that can occur, and the better you can take care of the child at a young age, the healthier they'll be throughout their entire life.
Yeah, I mean, that health even starts
in
the baby's in the womb.
Right.
Right.
And even then, getting ready, I've had some women come in and their husbands just to prepare before conception, just to make sure that they're healthy, and then all through pregnancy, and then keeping the infant healthy afterwards.
Yeah, because you're passing along that DNA.
Yes, you are.
You want to make sure your DNA is good. So let's talk about pharmaceuticals. You know, are you finding the children that come in, are they on, you know, a lot of, have they been on a lot of antibiotics by the time they get to you?
And sure, and of course, whenever you're on antibiotics, the immune system takes about 3 months for a 10-day supply of antibiotics to recover. And even then, oftentimes it doesn't. The National Institute of Health is doing a tremendous amount of study on gut health and just the importance of that for the immune system and the overall health of the individual. It's another cutting-edge type of pioneer area for health, but it's been something that we've been dealing with for quite a while. It is now being recognized as a critical part of an individual's health, and if you start in on antibiotics, especially at a young age, it can really cause some long-term type of health issues that just aren't good. So avoiding pharmaceuticals. Pharmaceuticals have not been tested on children. You know, most of the, all the tests that have been done are on adults, and children have a completely different physiology than adults do. So if, you know, there was a whole thing about cough syrup, you know, for children. And there was quite a few deaths that occurred.
Remember, they were taking them off the shelf.
They took them off the shelf. So even when you're talking about over-the-counter pharmaceuticals are not something that should be done for children. Children should be kept away from pharmaceuticals. They haven't been tested on them. They're far too dangerous for children to be on. And only should be used as a last resort.
And, you know, let's talk about, I mean, I see babies as young as 2 days old coming into the office. So, you know, they can start right outside the womb also getting care. And we're gonna talk about the structure function approach to that. Let's talk about the well baby visits.
And you know, having those infants come in, as you said, you know, 2 days old, and start them on evaluation and some adjusting, all those types of things are just really, really important. And people, the babies absolutely love to be adjusted.
And we're talking about non-force adjustment.
Non-force adjustment, reflex adjusting. It's, you know, all the moms can say, wow, I can really see a big difference on how my child's behaving. I knew that my I needed to get my kid back in because I could see some of the, he just wasn't as happy.
Yeah, we're going to talk about colic.
Yes, that.
We're not pooping.
Right. You know, having those types of things. So the chiropractic is excellent along those lines. Doing nutritional evals on the infant, seeing what they need. All is just very, very important. And, you know, there's a, you know, when you can get the child, you know, like our grandson who can, who's sleeping at 8 hours at 3 months at night, that's worth it a lot to parents. You know, it's not just the, you know, a healthy, happy baby makes a healthy, happy mama, which makes a healthy, happy family. So, you know, keeping those problems down, keeping those worries. But structure function care is really where children should be. You know, that's where they should be getting their well baby visits. That's where they should be having their health improved and evaluated. And looking at it in that type of way, because the disease care is just not something that is, unless it's absolutely necessary, that should not be where infants should be.
So what type of conditions can be treated, you know, for an infant in the structure function care model?
Well, the most common visit that occurs for babies' problems is otitis media, ear infections. you know, that's one of the biggest things that are being dealt with. And that's where you usually get into the antibiotics. And, you know, once a child starts along those lines with having to go with an antibiotic treatment, the more likely they are to eventually need more antibiotics, because it weakens the immune system, and then you've got a whole cascade of problems that start to occur. So besides, you know, the most common reason that parents bring in children into the office is ear infections.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things we want to do is talk about that a little bit more in depth.
Yeah.
But the other thing that we can really help out with is colic.
Mm-hmm.
We can really get that down about, you know, it's an amazing number of kids have that problem, and it just really makes life kind of unbearable for mm-hmm. everybody, for them and for the parents.
Well, when we come back, let's talk more about that dreaded colic.
You can win a free 60-minute massage in a relaxing spa at the Prather Practice. Each month, we have a drawing to give away a free massage to one of our lucky Facebook and Twitter fans. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. The Voice of Health Wellness Tip with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice.
Dr. Prather, there is a device you use at your office called the electrodermal screening, or EDS. Tell us a little bit about it and why you call it the lie detector for the body.
Well, the electrodermal screening unit is a galvanic skin response unit, and it actually falls under the same category as a lie detector test or biofeedback.
Huh.
So it is actually, we can actually rig our electrodermal screening to actually do lie detector. But it is also, a good term on that is a lie detector for the body.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're actually, you know a whole list of different types of products that could possibly work in each type of situation, but everybody knows that not everybody responds well to penicillin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people actually have some very negative reactions to it, matter even to death. Some people, it's a lifesaver. Well, that's true of everything. And what the electrodermal screening does is it actually gives you a predetermination on how you're actually going to respond to any type of thing that we might prescribe to you before you actually take it, which is extremely helpful. Now, it's not a diagnostic tool. You know, it is not classified as a diagnostic tool. But as we've gotten the approval from the federal government on the use of it, we use it purely as a means of checking to see the body's response before you would actually take something.
Okay.
So it's a response machine.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you have to have knowledge beforehand on what products will actually work with each type of condition.
Right.
So we're very dependent upon our lab tests and the gold standard types of diagnostic tests. But then, once you've determined that, what do you do with that? Because in our instrument, we have actually 80,000 different products that we can check on.
Wow.
So with that, we can actually find out what's going to work the best for you and how you're going to respond on things before you actually take them.
And what about its effectiveness?
Through clinical studies, they have found that it's 80% accurate, over 80% accurate, which, you know, mm-hmm. was what actually attracted me to it, because there's not too many things that you can actually have that kind of results with.
Right, right. And this electrodermal screening eliminates some of the guessing.
The guesswork is the biggest thing that we're trying to get rid of.
Schedule your appointment at the Prather Practice, 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Or learn more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. The Prather Practice, restoring hope.
I feel good.
You're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice, the most comprehensive wellness center in the Midwest.
Well, we're talking today about infant care, and Dr. Prather, we're talking about that dreaded colic.
Mm-hmm.
Not a fun thing to go through.
Sure.
And what I had learned, it comes from the gut, right? The health of the gut. Is that true?
Yeah, colic is a as adults, we don't have the sensitivity to our intestines. Mm-hmm. So our intestines can become inflamed, can become irritated. We don't have a whole lot of pain with it. Mm-hmm. But infants have exquisite sensitivity in their gut. So if they have some digestive issues, if they have gas, if they have other different types of things that are going on, then they feel the pain 100%. Mm-hmm. So there's a different physiology, a different nervous system, different response for infants as opposed to adults. So understanding that is very important, that they are exquisitively sensitive in the gut.
Exquisitively.
Yes. They do not like to have gut problems. Mm-hmm. And about 40% of all infants have what's considered colic. Mm-hmm. The definition
And if parents don't understand that or what right. the root is, they're going to be very frustrated and get impatient with their infant. And, you know, infants tell, you know, they tell us by their cry right. that something's wrong.
Yeah, and it's a pretty common, what you see is the most common thing that you can tell that your infant has colic is that their knees come up. Mm-hmm. There's just that classic type of a position where you're trying to take off pressure off the gut area. Mm-hmm. So they ball up their fists and raise up their feet and yell really loud. Mm-hmm. I had... actually, he's an adult now. I've seen him as an adult, but he had a little boy who was brought in, and he was 4 months old and had been in the hospital already 4 times mm-hmm. because of the screaming. I mean, he just was constantly screaming. So we got him on a probiotic, a few other different types of things, a little bit of herbals, a little bit of homeopathics, and... just saved him and saved the sanity of the mom mm-hmm. and the husband because they were just in a panic mode.
Yeah.
And they weren't getting any answers from the physicians. They had been to Riley several times mm-hmm. and had been overnight. And, they really had nothing to offer. So we were able to get that under control pretty quickly, mm-hmm. By doing the different types of things we did, some adjusting also, and was able to basically save the sanity of everyone.
Right. And now he's an adult patient of yours.
He's an adult patient.
He's not
patient.
Colicky anymore.
No, he's not colicky anymore. He's a big boy.
Do you remind him?
Yes. His parents have told him many a times that, they... how much that made a difference. But
yeah.
We see that quite a bit where parents are coming in and there's a panic. The definition of colic is where the child has 3 hours of constant pain.
Mm, okay.
For about 3 times a week.
Mm-hmm. Then they're considered colic.
That's considered a definition of colic. Basically, every child's going to have some gas pains and some things like that for a short period of time. That's not unusual at all.
Right.
But you want to keep that down to a minimum. But when it's really diagnosed as colic, 3 hours, which you can imagine a baby crying for 3 hours.
Oh, my goodness.
And for 3 days
a week.
No, I
don't want to imagine that.
For 3 days a week. And, I've had babies coming in who were crying like that constantly until they just had worn themselves out and gone to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just not something that, is so anything that you want to put up with at all.
So you talked about in treating colic, probiotic adjustments to work on the nervous system, right?
Yes. And then there is something called gripe water, which is an herbal combination that's very good. You can find that in most pharmacies, actually.
Mm-hmm. Health food
CVA.
Stores.
So, the gripe water is out there. Many, many parents swear by it. Takes down the inflammation in the gut. Now, for probiotics, you don't want to use the same ones as adults.
Mm-hmm.
But we carry a probiotic for infants. Matter of fact, we have a different probiotic for every phase of life. because the bacteria in the gut, the normal bacteria that should be there, is completely different in an infant than in an adult. So there are different stages along those lines that you want to give, and if you give the right probiotic, it really can make a huge difference long term. You have gripe water, you know, but really looking at that and even doing some diagnostics along those lines, you can find out what's going on inside the gut of a baby.
Well, let's talk about that. What are the diagnostics that should be done?
The best way to evaluate gut health is to do a stool kit, which is real easy for a baby.
Yeah.
So what you do is you just take some of the stool. We have tubes that you put it in. We send it off to the lab, have it evaluated. There are many times that there are some very specific reasons. You can have some bacterial infections. You can have some parasitic infections. There can be some severe deficiencies in pancreatic enzymes. There can be an imbalance in the short-chain fatty acids. So there can be quite a few different things that could be underlying problems, and there are very specific ways to work with that for infants to get those corrected. And as you make the corrections on that, we can recheck the stool and make sure that everything's cleared out. But oftentimes it can be different types of candida infection that can be an overgrowth in there. Mm-hmm. Give some specific things for that. You don't have to go pharmaceutically. Homeopathics are very good. A little bit of gentle herbals that are food grade, known to not be toxic. Give those to the infant, and you can get some. Matter of fact, you get quicker results with an infant than you do an adult.
They bounce back.
They bounce back. They have that vitality in there, so that they can get those down. And the stool kits are, and the analysis on that are oftentimes covered by insurance. It is, as I said, National Institute of Health is doing some very extensive studies on that, with some excellent reports coming back in. Matter of fact, some of the scientists on the lectures have said, you know, this is probably the most important area of preventative healthcare, that we're finding.
Gut health, yeah.
Yeah, that we're finding cancer, cardiovascular disease. You know, intelligence, IQ, has a lot to do with gut health. Matter of fact, if you have a parasitic infection, you can cut as many as 40 points off of your IQ.
So the gut is connected to the brain.
So the gut is connected to the brain. So, you know, making sure that you have a good, healthy gut, especially for an infant, and it's not an invasive test. It's a diaper test. So you get those.
You're
anyway.
Already cleaning those diapers, right?
So it's an easy type of thing to do, and it can really tell you a tremendous amount of what's going on.
Well, let's talk about, you know, what health issues arise if gut health is not maintained. I mean, it can start as early as that. I'm thinking about some of the children coming in now,
of course,
that have started off a lot of antibiotics and have no immune system. I mean, it's been destroyed, and they're 2 years old.
Right. One, you're talking about, you know, the general health of the immune system. 80% of the immune system is around the gut, and if the gut's inflamed and constantly under stress, then it's going to weaken the immune system, which can lead to many other different types of problems. All the autoimmune diseases, cancer, it oftentimes has to have a compromised immune system to kick off. Also, not only the immune system, but when we're going to be talking about otitis media, there's a very strong correlation between that and the gut health, because the same material that makes up the Eustachian tube is the type of muscle. The same muscle that's of the small intestine. So if the small intestine's inflamed, the ear usually becomes inflamed. And we have been able to clear up long-term type of ear infections by fixing their gut. So the gut is very important along those lines, and there is a very strong correlation between the gut and the brain. So the effects of the gut makes you smarter.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can cut down on the toxins associated with that. Many times we have kids coming in with ADD, ADHD. I had young boy who was brought into my office, and he's an adult right now. But
you've been around a long time.
I have been around for a long time. I'm starting to see the fourth generations on some of my patients, which is interesting. But he was going to be put, not only was he put on medication, but they were also wanting to put him in special ed. And the mom came in and says, I know my child's smart,
mm-hmm.
But there's something wrong. So we did tests on him and found some parasitic infection. We were able to get that cleared up, and he went from going to special ed
mm-hmm.
to going to advanced classes,
mm.
where he was, and mm-hmm. it was really proven that he was that smart.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a strong toxicity that is associated with the parasites that does affect brain health.
Mm-hmm.
So getting that cleared up just made all the difference in the world to him.
Yeah.
You know, he changed the course of his whole life.
Right, right. Well, when we come back, let's talk about ear infections.
Listen to the Voice of Health Radio on your smartphone or tablet on all of the top radio apps available. TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio. You can find these apps and more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather.
Laughter is the best medicine.
You ever go to a brand new doctor, and the moment he walks in, you're like, no. Now this ain't gonna work out. I was sitting there, I'm nervous enough. Doctor walks in, all the buttons on his lab coat were off by one. If he can't nail that task, I don't think I want his doctor paws on me.
A special message from the DTS Weight Loss Center at the Prather Practice.
Are you tired of making the same weight loss resolution only to end up right back where you started? Let the professionals at DTS Weight Loss Center take all the frustration out of dieting. Our nutritionists and wellness coaches know what works for every body type and can develop a plan specific to your needs throughout your medically supervised program. Make the change by visiting us online at DTSweightLossCenter.com. Dedicate. Transform. Succeed.
When you call the Prather Practice to schedule your appointment at our DTS Weight Loss Center, mention the Voice of Health Radio Show and you'll receive a free initial consultation plus a free body composition analysis. 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. The DTS Weight Loss Center at the Prather Practice. Dedicate, transform, succeed.
Doctor, doctor, give me the news. I got a
I'm Lisa Prather, and you're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice, where we get to the root cause of your health issue. Well, today we're talking about infant care, and let's talk about ear infections.
Sure.
Very common.
Very common problem.
Mm-hmm.
Again, the most common reason for a sick visit to the pediatrician. And the success rate of treating ear infections is pretty abysmal,
mm-hmm.
Pharmaceutically. Usually, if you can get that treated naturally, that's the way it should be. It should be done.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, children have a higher tendency towards ear infections because of the angle of the tubes. Eustachian tubes don't have the drainage like an adult. So an adult's eustachian tubes go from the ear down to the throat, and it's a drop. But children, because of their different anatomy, it goes straight across. So it's much easier to get problems in the ears because there isn't the drainage.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for ear infections, chiropractic is something that is extremely helpful because as you get the, especially the neck aligned and also jaw and skull, there is a better drainage that occurs just physically.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, on many of our adjustments, kids get an immediate response where the pain goes down.
Mm-hmm.
Also, we do a specific a eustachian tube adjustment
mm-hmm.
That's extremely, extremely beneficial and can open up the eustachian tube immediately.
I love that adjustment.
It really makes a big difference. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of people who come in and just love to have that done because they can feel the immediate difference. It really cuts down on the sinusitis problems. Many of my patients say, you know, I can't tell you probably 3 or 4 times a day, oh, I can feel my sinuses draining now,
mm-hmm.
you know, right after that.
Right.
So the chiropractic is absolutely critical in otitis media and really shows up a huge amount of benefit. Also, you know, we had mentioned the gut connection on that.
Mm-hmm.
Really helping along those lines. But there are also a lot of other different types of things that are very, very helpful along those lines. One of them is ABC formula. That's what they call it.
Is that a herbal or a homeopathic?
Homeopathic.
Homeopathic.
Aconite, belladonna, and chamomile.
We have that at the office.
Right. That's mm-hmm. something that has been around for, since the 1850s.
Mm-hmm.
As a remedy for ears, and the nice thing about it is it's not non-pharmaceutical. The child can
drink the whole thing and be okay.
Uh-huh. So you know, there's never any problems, and that's one of the wonderful things about homeopathics treatments. Mm-hmm. And homeopathics are really should be one of the first lines of treatment for infants, children, just because of its safety. There has, in all the years that the FDA, and the homeopathics have been cleared by the FDA, were part of their repertoire at the beginning, and they have kept a study on homeopathics, and there has never been an adverse reaction to a homeopathic.
Wow.
You know, in all those years.
Uh-huh. So those commercials would be really short.
Yeah.
they did TV advertisement for homeopathics. We wouldn't have to have those side effects
going on and on. There are no side effects with homeopathic. Now, homeopathic is complicated to be able to get down.
Mm-hmm.
You need to go to someone who's well-trained in it, understands what's going to work and what's not going to work. Because it works with the body, and if you get the right formula, oftentimes you can get amazing results along those lines.
And babies are remarkable. Infants are remarkable on their healing, aren't they?
Sure.
What is it about them that's different than adults in the healing process?
They've got an energy behind them.
Yeah.
Well, you just
try. They're more intuition, just more
right.
aware of themselves, and they can't even communicate. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I remember I had one young couple who had their pride and joy with the baby, and they came in and they were pretty distraught. And, you know, they had already done 2 rounds of antibiotic on an ear infection, and they just weren't getting any better. They hadn't gotten any sleep that night. Matter of fact, I think it was the last 3 nights they hadn't gotten sleep. And they were just like, you know, help me. And this was the first time that they were in. I said, well, you know, we're going to start treatment right away. So first thing I did was some adjustment. Got him on some homeopathics and had him take it right away. And then also did some diathermy mm-hmm. on the ear. Very safe type of thing to do. And the little guy was screaming as they brought him in, screaming. And then he was going up in the front, and he was just a toddler, but he was playing with all the front desk gals.
Yeah, afterwards.
And the parents
said,
are just...
Is this the same child?
And the parents are just looking at him and going, okay, we should have been here 3 days ago.
Because
they said, I can't, you know, they said, I can't believe this.
Right.
You know, of course, they all became, you know, patients at that time. They moved away since then. But they were just, you know, it just changed their whole perspective.
Well, and we have a young toddler coming in who, in the disease care model, they want to take out his adenoids and his tonsils.
Sure.
They're coming to you. Talk a little bit about that.
And one of the things, of course, is, you know, the there are so many different types of health problems that can develop, you know, beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
And poor little guy had been on antibiotics several times, and just his whole immune system and his health has just been crushed.
Yeah, his behavior, he got kicked out of a daycare center.
Sure.
You know.
Well, if you don't feel well.
Right.
You know, you're not going to be able to perform well. So, you know, getting started on him, we're doing all the diagnostics, which they've also taken to the pediatrician. And he's like, well, why are you doing, you know, what does the gut have to do with this?
Mm-hmm.
And again, I mean, that's just a lack of knowledge, you know, basic physiology.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a thought that the old thought of pharmaceuticals are great, don't get me wrong, you know, for symptoms, and there are many times where we need to use those. We send people out for pharmaceuticals when there's a crisis.
Mm-hmm.
But pharmaceuticals are not designed to make you healthier.
Mm.
Matter of fact, all pharmaceuticals take you further out of homeostasis, even though they might be necessary for a period of time.
Mm-hmm.
All pharmaceuticals take you out of homeostasis, which takes you further from health. Health, the definition of health is homeostasis. Homeostasis is balance. And the only way that you can achieve balance, where you can achieve health, is through structure function care.
Mm-hmm.
Disease care model is for disease. It is not to make you healthier.
Amen.
So,
yeah, amen.
And that's one of the main problems with our healthcare model is we're expecting pharmaceuticals, disease care, to help to solve our healthcare issues, and it's not designed to do that. We truly have the best disease care model in the world.
The structure function model.
No, the disease care model. We have the best, but we are not utilizing the structure function care.
Mm-hmm. Within
so
that.
Therefore, that's why we have such poor health outcomes.
Mm-hmm.
We need the combination of the both. And the proper balance on that is 80% structure function care, 20% disease care. And that is a good model, and where if we can achieve that in our healthcare system, we're not going to have a healthcare crisis. We're going to have a dramatic decrease in the healthcare costs. We're going to have much, much better outcomes. And really, it needs to start with our infants.
Mm-hmm.
Infants should, if anyone, shouldn't be in the disease care model, it's infants.
Mm-hmm.
They are not geared, they're very sensitive, and they do not do well with pharmaceuticals.
Well, and like you said, there's never been any research done
on pharmaceuticals with infants, right?
Right?
Who's going to volunteer their infant for a study?
Mm-hmm.
And
no one.
A child's physiology is completely different than an adult's. So we really don't know what pharmaceuticals are doing to them, as it has shown up with a lot of even over-the-counter drugs, with the numbers of death that occurred. So, you know, be thinking first structure function. Last resort, disease care.
Mm-hmm. Makes total sense. When we come back, let's talk more on infant care and the structure function healthcare model.
Never miss an episode of The Voice of Health so that you can stay informed and empowered about your health. Get a podcast of our show automatically delivered to you every week by signing up for our show on iTunes. You can find that link on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. And don't forget, thevoiceofhealthradio.com has complete archives of all of our past episodes with an audio library of information to help you add more life to your years and more years to your life. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. the Voice of Health Wellness Tip with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice. Dr. Prather, the Prather Practice now offers counseling services. Why did you decide to add that to your practice?
It's something that I always knew was necessary, was looking forward to the right person coming in. You know, if you have an illness going on, that can be very emotionally devastating. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, the emotions and some of the things that happen to us can actually lead to some of the health conditions that people experience. We are more than just our spine. Mm-hmm. We are more than just our physiology. But also how we think has a huge effect on each one of those different aspects. And those things then also have an effect on our thinking. Mm-hmm. So incorporating the whole aspect of counseling into the office is just a very natural outgrowth in us becoming an integrated and a total holistic type of a practice. Mm-hmm. So this was something that I, in my original thoughts 30 years ago of getting into my practice, having this aspect was a very important part of it. Mm-hmm. And we are now doing it.
We are a holistic practice. Mm-hmm. And if you don't understand the emotional aspect, if you don't understand the patterns that we have, then you can't really get to the complete healing of the patient. Oftentimes we can get a release in the physical body and it creates some emotional tension. The emotional tension will cause tension within the body. Mm-hmm. So getting down to that root, and we have so many different types of layers that can start to accumulate. And we see the evidence of the issues in people's body that creates disease in them. The underlying problem can be an emotional issue, past experiences, past habits, and coping mechanisms that we can have. We see oftentimes people have an injury, and their whole body has kind of shifted to compensate for that injury. Mm-hmm. Same thing on an emotional type of level. People have had injuries and they've had compensations. And getting through those compensations to get to the injury is an ongoing type of process that a skilled counselor has to be able to find out, just like we do that on a physical level. And the physical and the emotional are very, very connected. As you can approach it from both angles, mm-hmm. I think we're going to get a far, far better results than we could separate.
Yeah, and I know we already are.
Schedule your appointment at the Prather Practice, 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Or learn more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. The Prather Practice, restoring hope. You're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice, where our mission is restoring hope to our patients.
Well, we're talking today about infant care. We are new grandparents, first-time mm-hmm. grandparents, so exciting. Have a little three-month-old grandson, and wanted to do a show on infant care. We've been talking about women's health this last month. But Dr. Prather, we've talked a little bit, we've talked on ear infections, we've talked on colic and the importance. What are some ways to keep baby, you know, the baby healthy?
Probably the most important thing that everybody agrees on, Center of Disease Control, everyone, mm-hmm. is breastfeeding. Mm-hmm. That is absolutely the very best way to maintain the health of a baby. Now, that saying... Not everybody can do that. There can be some health issues that can occur mm-hmm. Where the mom can't. I've had recently even a couple of different moms come in and were having problems and needed to switch, you know, to other different types of means of feeding the infant. Mm-hmm. So, you know, not that I'm trying to put a guilt trip.
Right.
But the studies have shown that there are about 60% less problems, health problems, in breastfed babies than non-breastfed.
Yeah, and we're not even talking about the brain development and
right.
the relational things, too, that happen.
Sure. Just the, there's a tremendous amount of neurological things that occur during breastfeeding. But, you know, the allergies, asthma, even different types of infant cancers are way lower on children who are breastfed. Colic, they find that, you know, when you're talking about the 40% of kids who have colic, most of that is for non-breastfed children. Just because even on a daily basis, there is a communication between the saliva and the breast of a mother where the nutritional needs will change according to the needs of the infant. Also, you get all the immune system into the child. There's a transfer of the bacteria that are necessary for the gut health. The list just goes on and on and on. And the longer that a child is breastfed, the healthier the individual, you know, on statistics. So it's something that is, no doubt about it, breastfeeding is the best.
And like you said, the CDC, you know,
It's not even questioned at this point.
Right. Everybody's in agreement on that.
Sure.
Now, if we could just get our culture to be okay with it in public.
Right. We, you know, we need a different society. You know, many women are working. There needs to be a shift in society where moms can, you know, when that baby's hungry, that mom needs to feed it.
Wherever they are,
and society needs to adjust to the mom and the baby, not the mom and the baby adjust to society.
Yes, amen to that. I'm saying a lot of amens today. What diagnostics should be done for the child?
Well, you know, we talked about a few things. Of course, you don't want to do a whole lot of blood draws on infants.
No,
they don't like that too much.
No.
But some non-invasive ways of really checking, and again, if you can balance out, one thing balancing out really has a huge shift on balancing everything else out. Probably the number one thing for an infant is checking the bowels. Again, the bowels, we had talked about that earlier, just how important that is. And that should be done on an infant probably every 6 months. For adults, I recommend it once a year. But for children, I would say every 6 months until they get to about the age of six.
Okay, so every 6 months.
Every 6 months, have that done, because then you can pick up if there's any type of problems. And then you can treat it right away, get it cleared up. Of course, you do a retest to make sure that if anything's going on, that it's cleared up quickly. And then you maintain that. And you will have a, if you can do that, you'll probably have an allergy-free child. You'll have a child that just doesn't get sick. You're going to increase the child's intelligence. You know, it's just goes, the list goes on and on and on. And it's a very easy type of test to do. And it's something, again, that really isn't that expensive. So it's a very, very verifiable type of thing. And it is, you know, the science behind it right now is just going right through the roof. The number of different types of information I'm getting back from the stool now is far greater than when I first started. Because there's more ways of testing. We understand the ramifications of each different type of area. And with the experimentation with the National Institute of Health, they're finding out exactly which, what things are making the corrections too. So, you know, it's really a cutting edge type of an area. And it's something that if you are interested in the health of your child, that's something that should be done.
Now, what about hair analysis? Now, some babies don't have hair.
That's right. You have to wait until they actually start to have hair. But another area is heavy metal toxicity. Center of Disease Control is really big on checking on preventing heavy metal toxicity. And children are four times as sensitive to absorbing heavy metals as adults.
Four times.
Because of the growth, their absorption rate is much, much greater. and you don't have the neurological barrier where the heavy metals can go into the nervous system. So that has a very big effect on health of the child. And when the Center of Disease Control went around and did some national studies on children for heavy metal toxicity, mm-hmm. they found 40% were showing positive, where it would be enough to have an effect on the development of the child.
Well, I remember as a kid, the big one was lead.
Sure.
Yeah. They took it out of the paint and was really affecting kids, the lead in pencils.
Right.
Yeah.
And but we still see quite a bit of that.
Do you?
So
okay.
Getting that balanced out, I mean, the study on the 40% was just done about 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So, it, you know, having the hair analysis and then also making sure that the balance of the minerals, and these things are very easily treated and very easily rechecked on.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, having those types of tests done, for children, I would say that having at least a hair analysis done once a year, and then for the GI, I would say every 6 months.
It was so cute in the office last week. One of the young ladies that you've been treating since an infant, they mm-hmm. were adopted and came from really bad beginning, right?
Sure.
And health-wise, and she was so excited she had to show me when I went out to the waiting room her hair analysis, and you know, her copper levels were normal and her zinc and copper ratios. She was so excited.
Yes. That has a huge effect on the I've had, oh, I can't tell you how many kids I've had that were going to be put on Ritalin or Concerta or some Adderall, something like that. And we did a hair analysis and found that their copper-zinc ratio was off. Fixed that, and the problem was gone.
And they didn't have to go on that.
They didn't have to go on that medication, mm-hmm. which does cause quite a few, you know, side effects.
Well, and drug
growth,
addiction.
Yeah,
later on.
Higher incidence of drug addiction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, trying to keep those things under control and working on the health of our children is absolutely critical.
Well, let's talk about chiropractic. Is it safe for children?
Absolutely. Chiropractic is the safest healthcare system out there. And mm-hmm. how do I know that? Because we pay the lowest insurance premiums.
Yeah, lowest malpractice, right?
Yeah, I mean, my nurse that works in our office pays a higher...
Our nurse practitioner pays higher than...
Well, not the, just regular nurse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we
oh, an
have,
RN? Uh-huh.
Yeah, just an RN. Nurse practitioner is way out there.
Yeah.
So, you know, and the reason is because we don't prescribe pharmaceuticals. That's where the danger is.
Okay.
The number of chiropractic malpractice suits are extremely low just because we don't hurt people very much.
Mm-hmm.
But even lower chance for us because we don't, in our office, we do not do diversified type techniques. We don't do the lumbar roll, and we don't...
non-force.
Yeah, it's mm-hmm. non-force adjusting, and after the first time, whenever I have a little one,
mm-hmm.
Started to get the adjustment, they're kind of really curious, wondering what the heck's going on, and
uh-huh.
Hoping I'm not going to stick them or something like that. But by the third time, they jump up on the table and they're all excited about having it done
because they know how they feel.
They feel better.
Uh-huh. We have our little niece. She come in, jump right up on that table, and we just found out this week she's 4 years old, but she
right.
wants to be a chiropractor when she goes up, and she'll be a good one.
Well, I have one little guy who, he's 5 years old, and he tells his mom, I need to go to the chiropractor. You know, and he's right.
Uh-huh.
He's like, you know, little Johnny told me he needs to get in
uh-huh.
here.
That they're smarter than some adults, right?
And it does. They, you know, the moms sit there and say, you know, I wasn't quite sure about this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was encouraged to. You know, I watched my child with, you know, the results on that. And she's, you know, they say, I can tell the difference.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell the difference in their mood. I can tell the difference. They don't just don't get the sniffles.
Well, you're working with the nervous system.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, behavior. I've got one little guy who his mom drives him over 3 hours to get an adjustment.
Mm-hmm.
Again, they were going to be putting him on some different types of medications, and the adjustments took care of that.
Right.
So, you know, and he can tell a big difference.
Well, I was just even thinking, even the trauma of birth, you know, for a child, you know, even it's a beautiful thing, but going through the birth canal or the surgery, you know, of a C-section.
Yes.
In fact, it was our little niece, we noticed, couldn't, was just moving her head to the one side.
Right.
Favoring one side over another. I think she was just 4 weeks old, right, and able to adjust her.
And you could, there was immediate change.
Mm-hmm. So, Dr. Prate, we have about 30 seconds. What, just go ahead and finish us off here.
All right. We need to change the concept of how we're treating America.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to start with the infants and coming in and getting that structure function care.
Mm-hmm.
Very critical, and I encourage every parent to do that.
All right. Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
The Prather Practice is located at 8902 North Meridian Street on the north side of Indianapolis, just south of the I-465 loop. If we can help you to achieve better health, we'd love to hear from you. Connect with our office at 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Join us again here next week or anytime on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com for The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather.